listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, the only podcast that burrows into your face and bursts out your chest. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul here, going to go and discuss a fantastic show that just happened and learn about our new Khaleesi. We're going to talk about Alien Earth, right?
Mostly fantastic. I have qualms. We're going to have to discuss the qualms.
It was not perfect, but it was very good. It was very good from the shit we had been getting.
That's fair. I've seen a lot of Alien fans online bitching that this was a terrible show, which I don't see. I can agree with some of their criticisms. I don't agree with all of them. And we'll go over some of the ones that I saw more recently. Mm-hmm. But I think on the whole, the show tried to do something. I think my two biggest criticisms that we'll eventually get to are some of the really smart characters acted really stupidly, which then they shouldn't have been the smartest people in the room. And the show was probably about two episodes too long.
They could have trimmed out a little bit in there. It jumps out really fast in the beginning, mm-hmm. With the space crash and, getting the xenomorph a little bit at the end. And then it's very fast paced the first three episodes, very, very quick. And then it slows down a little bit in the middle. You get your exposition and all that kind of stuff. And then they try to ramp it back up at the end, but it was a little too late at that point to try to hit that third act crescendo.
Yeah.
So you are spot on about that, but I didn't dislike what they did. Mm-hmm. I just completely see your point.
Yeah. So the show, we talked about the premiere already, so we don't have to recap too much. Ship crashes to Earth, aliens are on it. One evil corporation gets the aliens away from another evil corporation and then does stupid things with them now that it has them in their control.
Hijinks ensue.
Yeah, I can understand one criticism about this, which is that the early movies were about people getting stuck with the aliens and trying to escape just because it's survival. And then at some point, the series morphed into corporations go and hunt down the aliens, and there's no longer that, poor person human element. We got it in Romulus, which I wish we had more of, except Romulus sucked, so I don't kind of discount that. But Prometheus, Covenant, fucking this show is more concerned with, the origin and the creation of the aliens and what the corporations will do with them instead of, people just running for their lives from the aliens. It's different.
It's definitely different. And this show really has to thread a careful needle here, because chronologically it takes place 2 years right before the actual Alien movie that we know that's kicked all this off.
I think it might have been better if this was 10 years after, because then you can do some stuff with the story that it couldn't do here because it was limited being a prequel.
I'm very interested to see, because it's going to get a season two. I'm happy we're going to get some.
Has that been announced? No, it has not yet gotten renewal status. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I hope it gets a season two, because, there are some points that they really got to kind of tie up. They didn't close every loophole. They didn't tie every, storyline in a bow.
Which is another issue I had. Not tying up everything, but at least giving us, an episode kind of closure for the season, so that when we pick up the next season, we can do an evolution of the story.
Right. So the needle this thing has to thread is just, it's a very tricky time frame. You see all this futuristic tech and all the shit that's going on Earth, but then you still see the grimy shittiness of space when they're on their spaceship in the show. So they try to hit on both elements. This is shiny and new, but we still also are in this shit grimy kind of place. I'm interested to see where they're going to go with the story there, because Weyland-Yutani then knows so much more than they ever led on in any of the previous movies. So how's that going to fuck with the continuity? How's it going to fuck with the timelines? It's a weird spot to choose the timeline to start. I think you're right. This would have been much better served to be 10 years later. Fucking make it 100 years later. You skip Ripley forward half a century. Just do something where it's not before. I don't quite get why that's the case.
Well, I understand they want to kind of match the aesthetic of the original Alien. So they had to set it sometime within the similar time period. I saw people online bitching about the fact that the tech on Earth is so futuristic, but the ship feels so retro and dingy. But that actually kind of makes sense, because the ship is 80 years old, because it went out and it came back, and the people are like, well, the technology feels different. Yeah, of course it does. It should. It shouldn't all match when the shit's been out there for 80 years. Also, you want stripped down tech that won't break over 80 years. You don't want something that's flashy and new that's, still first early adopter shit. You want the stuff that's old and reliable. The CRT tubes that will last for 200 years and outlast the nuclear apocalypse and cockroaches. Like, yeah, that's what you want. So, no, but I do think that if it was set 10 years later, it opens up the possibility of having aliens on Earth, which is what the title of the show promises. But instead of, like, a couple of aliens on a remote island that is away from everyone, we could have an actual fucking alien infestation on Earth, which is what people want to see. And you don't get that this first season. Maybe if it gets renewed and the show jumps forward a certain period of time, it'll do that. But we're not there yet, and without the renewal, all we have is this one season to go on, and it's not satisfying as a whole, as a single season.
The more I thought about the finale, the more I did see why people disliked it as much. Maybe I was just kind of, like, really shiny with what I saw, and, like, I was really drawn into the whole, like, Wendy and what she was doing, and, like, it's just very different. It's very, you know, Dany Targaryen, Game of Thrones shit to me, and, like, I'm into that. Like,
Yeah.
You know, let's see where this goes. But you give me only a little bit of that at the end, and all you're showing me is a couple of pets chilling there then. And you got this whole thing that's about to happen, and we both talked about this. Like, if where are you going to start season two if you do? Like, are you picking up a little
right
bit
there?
Later? Are you picking up right afterward? Because, like, there's some shit about to go down when they leave that room.
Yeah, Weyland-Yutani is flying in with, like, 30 helicopters, and they're about to invade. And this is where you cut it. Like, that's the climax we actually wanted to see for this story, is all the plot lines were building towards Weyland-Yutani fighting the synths, and then you cut season one right there before it happens. That's, I mean, not to be crass, that's some serious storytelling blue balls right there. That's rough. Like,
that is a tremendous faith in your product wanting to be, you know, brought back and people wanting to see more and not having people be too pissed off.
Yeah.
I'm going to lean toward, like, that they're doing this in a good way and they're not just being lazy, but maybe I'm just hopeful. I want to see more of what's going on. I want to see what happens to more of these characters, because when we leave it off at the end, like, the only humans that died were the ones I wanted to live for the most part.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Like, you know, like, let's see, like, where these real shit people go. Like, I mean, obviously Boy Cavalier, everybody wants to see him eat it somehow. But I want to know what happens, you know, to some of these other people that, you know, you thought maybe had the best intentions. And as the season went on, they just were total fucking assholes. And they were, I just wanted to see them get their comeuppance. And we got to wait for it now.
If we get it at all, who knows? Like, that's the problem with the no renewal yet. It's been, what, 2 weeks since it came out, and we still don't have note of it yet, which seems a little weird. Haven't been told it's been canceled. It could just be quietly canceled, which would be really sad, but if that's the case, we'll never see these characters again. And I do like Wendy. I think her evolution from functionally just a little girl into who is a stand-in now for the alien queen is interesting. Some fans online were really stupid because they're like, so she has psychic powers and she can control the aliens. Like, no, she fucking
talks
to them. She figured out their language, and she talks, and the rest of her special powers are that she's on Boy Cavalier's network and she has Wi-Fi. Like, they're looking for a high-tech, weird magic explanation for what's really some dumbass basic shit.
Yeah, and she says it, too, to her brother, Hermit. Yeah. She goes, you know, and he's like, what are you guys doing? And she's like, you know, the dialect's a little tricky, or the accent's a little tricky. She's like, but I'm getting it. Like, she's talking to them. Like, she's literally spell it out.
She's not psychically controlling them. They're a hive culture, and they need a queen. And without an actual queen alien around, she has filled that gap for them. She is their queen bee now. It makes perfect sense to me from a basic perspective. And I don't know. Fans are stupid.
They like enjoy something different. We have gotten so much random horrific bullshit in this franchise over the last, you know, 20 years of Predalians and you know, gross ass hybrids and, you know, running dog alien threes. Like, let's see what a synthetic can actually do.
Yeah,
and let's see, you know, like someone that she has all these properties of of like this childlike vision of like morality, but like this really strong sense of justice in a way that like is really interesting for someone that's supposed to be like a 12-year-old kid that is growing into like this leader of a revolution, it seems. And like, we'll see. I mean, this feels like it's going to go very Rogue One. Like, how are they going to paint the story where they make it out of there and they survive? Like, they probably can't, but I'm interested to see where they go and what they can do with it.
Yeah, I think for her character, the turning point is finding their graves, for their old bodies. And the fact that it finally clicks for her that she is not the girl she used to be. She just, even if she has the memories of this other girl, she physically is not that person anymore. It wasn't just like a transfer. It was the old girl is dead. And like at that moment, she stops really being Wendy even. She starts being some unnamed person that hasn't figured herself out yet. And like it's a weird position for her, but it's an interesting one character wise for her growth. Like that's part her arc this season, which is very strong. I don't think many of the other characters, Boy Cavalier, for example, had a strong arc. He should be our villain of this whole piece, but he's a dumbass piece of shit.
Yeah, he's very the overconfidence comes at the detriment of the character's development, I think. Like you can only, you know, be such a shithead so much. And like they tried to give him a story at the end and like, you know, paint this whole thing like I've been alone since I've been a kid, and you know, then Wendy and Wendy calls him out like, you've never been a fucking kid, you've always been a shit sad little man. Like, really gets to him. Like, but she really calls him on his shit.
That's a problem too though, because when he was 8, he built his android defender and killed his dad. And that's when he became Boy Cavalier and built his empire. Technically speaking, his character arc ended when he was 8 years old, like 20 years before this show even starts. He has no arc, and he's not a villain that we can bond with. We don't see who he was before he became a villain. We don't understand him as a character except for the things that he tells us. He's a very much a tell-not-show sort of character. And then he's supposed to be the smartest person in the room at any point. And again, he does the dumbest shit. I'm okay with him sending his people to capture these aliens for study, because that's the whole point that Weyland Yutani has. And if he sees that they have tech he wants it first. That's fine. He's basically a man-child. Let him have that. That's not a big deal. But it doesn't do anything for his character. And he makes the dumbest decisions every single time in coordination with these aliens, with these synths, with everything. Like, someone pointed out, which I think is a fair point, why don't the synths have an off switch?
I mean, right? They have trackers, they have, you know, I mean, how do you turn them off? Like, I guess they just decided they weren't going to put them in there.
Yeah, and it would have been an interesting thing for them to have off switches so that you could see them get shut off and transported and set back up again. And then at some point when he tries to switch Wendy off, she's already grown her powers enough, she can't be turned off because she's disconnected to that part of her network. Like, that's a moment of growth this show should have done. But it's also a moment of stupidity for Boy Cavalier, because an off switch makes perfect sense. Why does his androids not have them?
He really came off as like, you know, and I think I heard him reference this in like a review or something. He came off as the kind of person that is just like never, since he killed his father and built whatever this is that he built, this empire, he's never lost at like anything he's done. Yeah. Never been challenged. So like the remote possibility that he even needs to include an on-off switch doesn't even occur to him. And like you can kind of see that, but like you got to do a better job of arcing the character. Like, we get it at the end with him sitting there holding his fucking Ritalin in his hand. Like, oh, maybe you should have been taking that the whole time. Like, why are you waiting 8 episodes to tell me that you're not just like a brilliant person who's eccentric? You're fucking crazy. Like, sorry.
If he's really the smartest person in the room, then his interactions with Wendy should be a chess game instead of him lecturing at her and then her defeating him every time she gets challenged. Like, that never comes into play. And by the same token, Kirsch is both an intelligent, super brilliant android and caught flat-footed whenever things don't go his way, despite the fact that he encourages things going out of control. And I don't know why.
I was excited, and I liked Kirsch a lot. And I still like Kirsch to a degree, but I was very disappointed in, like, whatever crescendo him and Mauro had, you know, that like that ending, I guess you'd call it right there. Like they're all still whatever, but I was expecting a lot more from Kirsch there. Mm-hmm. Like Mauro seemed to work him pretty easily, and like maybe that's because it's the human versus machine aspect, and like, you know, he kind of referenced that with like, you know, the John Henry thing and all that. But they even got that reference wrong. Like it was a 10-pound hammer, they said, but it's a 9-pound hammer in the story. Like, there were little changes that it's like, okay, whatever. But like the disappointment, Kirsch seemed like he was maybe, I was waiting for Mauro to walk in there and then to like high five.
I was waiting for something.
Something
that shows what his plans are.
Yeah, and then he just gets like, he gets his back broken and he's just laying there. Like, yeah. All right, well, whatever.
It really felt like Kirsch went from someone who has his own agenda to some guy that was just flicking switches just to see what would happen, which made him much lesser of a character.
It did. It made him more like the children.
Yeah.
Kind of like blind curiosity. What's going to happen if I do this? What happens if I do that? Like, not that he was puppeting the strings and like 10 steps ahead, you know, like, I don't know. It was a disappointing finale for the arc of whatever that was for Kirsch. Like, we'll whatever still see more of him, I think. But, like, I don't know. That ending for Kirsch was disappointing. I did like Morrow, though. Morrow was one of the stronger characters in the show as well for me with Wendy.
Morrow was stronger. I think my issue with him is that, like, he's a character we should have be following better than we do, because he'll just, like, vanish for whole chunks of episodes when he actually has one of the more interesting story arcs. He went to space for this mission. This mission is his whole life, because he gave up his daughter, basically, to be on this mission, and then she dies even while he's not even there, so he has nothing to live for except seeing this mission through. That's an interesting story. Watching him try and resolve his mission with his character arc is strong. He needs to be a bigger player, and an unfortunate fact for him is that one of his best episodes is also one of the most disposable of the season. Episode 5, which is set entirely at the before the first episode, which is all about how the ship that was bringing all these aliens to Earth went haywire and blew apart. It's not needed. All the important details come in the first episode in, like, the very short sequence we see. It felt to me like they, like, when we built this set, we have to use the set for a whole episode as opposed to having a good reason for it.
I like the episode in a vacuum, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I like it. It felt out of place in the middle of the season. Like, I almost wish they took that and, like, threw it, like, 6 months ago. Like, here's a 40-minute taste of what you're getting.
Exactly.
You know, like, give me that. Like, here's what you're going to get coming up in the fall. Get ready for it. Like, you cut at the end when the ship's doing whatever, and then you pick up episode one right where it was. Like,
exactly.
It fucked with whatever pacing there was. And it was out of place. It was disposable. And it's sad because it was one of the better episodes of the season, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
too.
It should absolutely have been a 6 months earlier, like, series premiere event movie to lead into the first season. And then the first season should have been, like, 6 episodes to focus on the characters after that ship crashes down. We pick up with, the Morrow shoving himself into the pod, the ship crashing to Earth. And then, like, the synths and all of their story picks up after, and we just focus on the synths and Morrow. And, like, cut out a bunch of the other crap. I'll be honest, I like Wendy's brother, but he's not necessary to the plot. Kirsch at this point isn't necessary to the plot.
Nah.
Boy Cavalier almost isn't necessary to the plot. And we really don't need to delve as deeply into Weyland Yutani as we do, because that should all just come straight from Morrow and a couple phone calls. That's stripped down to just what's essential. There's a lot of inessential material for what could have been a much shorter and more refined series.
You're not wrong. It's almost like, you know, they had a budget and they wanted to, fuck it, we're going to spend this budget, bro. And they did good with what they had, but there was pacing issues. We just talked about it. And interesting choices with some of the characters toward the end. Like, I was rooting for Hermit for 6.5 episodes. And now, like, I don't give a fuck if this guy dies. Like, I really don't care. I wanted him to have his sister, but he's not even, like, he's just like a token white guy at this point.
He's not necessary.
He doesn't further the story. Wendy's already surpassed him, any need for him. Like, she almost fucking kills him herself. Like, it's kind of crazy.
If Weyland Yutani had invaded in the last episode and then he died, I would have felt that would have been a perfect use for his character. Him connecting with Wendy, pushing her forward, her realizing she doesn't need him anymore, and then him sacrificing himself for her would have been perfect evolution, and then she would have been freed of her humanity and we could move on. Instead, I'm sure he's going to linger for another 4 seasons and I just don't care about him.
I'm not sure. Like, I could see, like, you saying that made me think, like, that would be a really good thing. Like, let's see something else fucking happen to Wendy to change her opinion on something, because right now she seems like she really has it figured out, and she has this, like, direct purpose. Like, I don't need this guy anymore. I think that was Smee. But he says to her in the last episode, he's like, are you going to let him die? And she goes, I don't know. He's like, but, you know, he's one of us. And it kind of gets Wendy thinking a minute. Like, she's going down that, like, very black and white kind of looking at things. And she's losing her gray area. So I think it'd be interesting to see, like, if this death does happen and he doesn't linger, what does that do to her character? Because she is far and away the most interesting character on the show.
She is.
Like, aside from some of the other aliens that we'll get to again, too.
Honestly, like, the show should have ended with the Weyland-Yutani invasion. I'm sure they probably ran out of money, which is part of the reason why it ends when it does. But it should have ended with the Weyland-Yutani invasion, the whole battle out, whoever survives gets out, and then we should jump forward at that point and see Wendy at a different spot in her evolution after having, for instance, lost her brother and having to figure out who she is now that all of her earthly connections are gone. And she basically just has android synths and aliens to talk to. Which, let's talk about the aliens before we decide to start wrapping this whole thing up. We get five different species, some of which are more interesting than others. Because I don't think we fully explored all of them. Some of them are definitely just like alien insects, like the blood bugs and the synth dissolving bugs. Those,
the ones that eat the technology or whatever.
Those maybe have a little bit of intelligence, but they don't seem super smart. We also have the weird plant pod, which again seems like it's mostly acting on instinct, but is cool looking. But then we have the two smart creatures, which are the xenomorphs, which obviously have to be on the show, and the weird eyeball. And the eyeball is probably my favorite character, honestly, even beyond Wendy. It's fucking great and creepy as shit.
The Teocellus, I think, is what it's been called. And it is, that thing steals the show, too, whenever it's on screen. That was the most compelling alien on the show. And like, and maybe, like, you know, I don't want to sell the xenomorph short because, like, we've seen it before. And these were good xenomorphs. Like, the scenes were good. They did a lot of good. There was some new things with them as well. But, I mean, we've gotten 40 years of xenomorph. Now we're getting 8 episodes of this Teocellus that was just tremendously interesting and compelling, and like, I want to know what makes this thing tick. Like, is it out for blood? Is it out for dominance? Is it just trying to survive? Like, what's its deal? But it does seem like it's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 steps ahead of everything that it's looking at, and I'm very into the idea of what this creature is.
And is it smart because of itself? Has it, does it, what, like, does it just control the creatures, or when it burrows into its head, does it also like absorb its memories?
Right?
Is it so smart because it's been absorbing memories for who knows how many decades at this point? Like, my end thought is, if it actually does get smarter with each person it absorbs into, I bet endgame for that is taking over Boy Cavalier.
Right, exactly.
That's, you know, the then you get the person spot
with the most power and the money. Like, that's
and the supposed other one. Intelligence. Like, maybe he finally acts smart if he had an alien in his eyeball.
Wouldn't that be something? Like, I wonder, because, like, you know, I'm not gonna spoil too much, but the eyeball creature kind of gets away at the end. It gets into a corpse and kind of, like, you know, does its thing.
That spoils a,
like,
lot, actually.
I didn't reveal what the corpse was, and we've seen it if you've watched the season at all. Like, clearly it does that. But, like, does it then, to your point, take on the thoughts and memories of where it is? Because if it does, like, it's got a pretty good host right now.
Because, I mean, before we only knew that it could control a sheep, and it counted like a sheep would count. But we don't know what else it can do or how it functions. We just know it's really intelligent on its own and takes over a host, but we don't have details. And I'm curious about that. It does kind of dominate over top of the xenomorphs, you're right. But I think the xenomorph story would be growing more in a second season because it's tied to Wendy. For instance, does Wendy just release the other xenomorph eggs and let them take over more so she has more of an army? That's a curiosity there.
How many were left? Four,
I think.
And how many humans are left?
I'd have to go and count.
Yeah, so would I, but I mean,
there's three or four of them. Well, if we discount Boy Cavalier, there's a couple or three, but there's more humans coming in with the Weyland-Yutani people, so we got plenty of hosts for them.
It was a bit of a cheesy line at the end when Wendy was like, you know, what do we do now? Like, we rule, like, you know, it's kind of just like, like, you know, I'm the queen now. Like, if you didn't realize it already, guess what? Like, okay. But, like, I wonder, like, what does she mean by that? Does she want to, like, then, like you said, I didn't think about that. What if she takes and just makes more xenomorphs now? Like, what's her plan? Ooh, tasty.
It's a thing where I really feel like the show wasn't supposed to end where it was. Like, we were supposed to get the Weyland-Yutani invasion, but we didn't have the money for it because they wasted so much on that opening and fifth episode. That like
so much on episode five that was good.
Yeah, and it was great, but I think it would have been better to budget that as its own movie before the series picked up. That would have been smarter. But, like, we had to cut because we ran out of money. So instead of, like, leading into the next episode, they gave her a cheesy line to finish the finale, and it didn't work.
Yeah, it was your typical kind of like, you know, you've seen a million of them on like not Hawaii Five-0, but like CSI Miami, like the whole put the glasses on look like like it was like one of those, but it was just corny, man. It was like it was when Romulus pulled out the fucking get away from her, you bitch line. Like you had a lot of good things going on here, and now you had to throw that in at the end.
I know. So, yeah, no, I really did enjoy most of the season. I thought there was some really strong ones. The first three episodes are fantastic. There were great moments strung throughout, and I like the synths, and I want to see more of them. It was uneven. I don't debate when people say it was uneven. I don't think it was as bad as people say. I don't think it was as good as it could have been.
Agree 100% on that. Like, it was a very solid B+ for me overall, but I can see people giving it a C-, and I'd be okay with that too. Do what you want. It hit on notes for me that I was unexpected and made me enjoy it a little bit more, but I get people's criticism. I do. I mean, it didn't really explain things at the end, and it left off at kind of the best part, which is almost the point, but at the same time it's a lot of faith that your product's going to come back, and we don't know yet,
and that's the biggest thing that's holding me back on really enjoying this, is that if this is all we get, we only get these episodes and nothing more comes out, then it's a huge disappointment. But if this is just like the first half or first third of a planned story and we get all of it, then I'm probably going to feel better about it because it's going somewhere. If it goes nowhere, I'm pissed as hell.
It really would be, right?
Like, this,
you left it at a cliffhanger point that was bold, and you got people that are kind of interested, and you're doing some unique things, and there's other aliens that we haven't gotten to really kind of flesh out what they're doing yet. So you got a lot of good things going on here, but I mean, I hope it gets picked back up. I want to see, you know, these storylines come together. I want to see more. Like, I want to see what Wendy can do. I'm very into the whole Khaleesi version of her here. Like, you know, very Dany Targaryen. Like, I'm into that.
We shall see, or not, I guess as the case may be. Oh, well.
We'll find out.
Yeah. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, lamenting the fact that I only got 8 episodes to tell my whole story. I am your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy, Mike the Ghoul here, gonna say, in space, no one can hear you scream, but on Earth, I mean, I guess we'll see.
Hopefully, we will see you all next time.